Blog Talk Radio.
This is a great day in the day of our Lord. We're going to be talking about Babylon and the doctrine of the serpent today. Last week, we talked about the great deception. And it is a must, again, that we know that the great deception did not start in the garden. It started in heaven. The conflict was for more deadly war in heaven, which was fought in terms of life eternal. So when we're dealing with the doctrine of the serpent, we got to understand that with Cain came the way to Babylon, Babylon's ways. So today we're going to be dealing with the atypical and typical messages, typical meaning before and atypical meaning now. So we're going to deal first with the doctrine of the serpent and what it is. We got to understand what God say. So in Genesis 3:1 reads, "Now the serpent was more crafty," meaning sneaky, "than any of the wild beasts or animals that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" This is where he counter what God says. Did God really say did God really say for sure you couldn't eat from any of the trees in the garden? So this is questioning God's word and giving Eve the assumption that, hey, maybe God ain't right. So now he is putting things in her thoughts in her head. That's why he was so sneaky and crafty. So the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." The serpent then said, "You would not surely die." The serpent said to the woman, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil." So did God say that all creatures would eat fruits and plants? In verse 29 in Genesis, then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and to all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along in the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. So yes, God did say that. So did God say that there will be a judgment on the people of the flood? So this is all about what God said versus what the doctrine of the serpent says. We got to stick to what God say. So if God said there was going to be a judgment for the people before the flood, then let's see, is that really the truth? In Genesis 6, "Then the Lord said, 'My spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. The Lord saw how great wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord," in verse 6, "the Lord regretted that he had made humans on earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them.' But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, 'I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely, surely going to destroy both them and earth.'" So yes, there was a judgment before the flood. So the judgment came. And the next thing, did God really say that this judgment was a type of final judgment? In 2 Peter 2:5-6, it says, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. I remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy life. So that lets you know, no, first of all, that was not the final judgment. That was a typical judgment. Atypical is next time there will be fire. Okay? Did they believe God when he said it? No. So, just like Eve who questioned God after the serpent said, you will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil. So, they didn't believe that God would not destroy the world by flood. So, they said to themselves, building up the city of Babylon, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth. They actually built a tower just in case God would destroy the world by flood again. But God specifically said it would not be water, but fire next time. Did God really send Moses to deliver the people? In Exodus 2 and 14, the man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. Did they believe Moses when he told them that it was I am that sent me? No, they tested God. God had to perform all kind of miracles for them to believe. This is a pattern for the nature of God's people with God. It's always a pattern. We never believe what God says. We're always questioning what God is saying. But we have to stick to the word of God. So did God really require us to change our lifestyle? In Numbers 11 and 6, and 31 and 32, but now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna, doubting God. This is what they're doing. They're doubting God. This is when they were in the wilderness. Now a wind, this is God speaking, now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. It scattered them up to the 2 cubits deep all around the camp as far as the day's walk in any direction. All that day and all that night, all the people did was gather quail. No one gathered less than 10 quails. Then they spread them all around the camp. God was not pleased with that. In the desert, they gave in to their cravings. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. Human nature is that whatever God does, they rebel, even if it's for their own good. Eric, this is a pattern that we have with God. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. People have the tendency not to believe what God says. They didn't believe Moses would be prince and judge over them, and they do not believe today when God sends someone to be a prince or a judge over us. Humanity has a tendency not to believe what God say or do. And this is a pattern that we as children of God must break. Okay, let's go on. So did God really say his people should separate themselves from the world? Now this is very hard for people, for us to do. In Genesis 12, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And Jesus reiterates this in Matthew 19 and 29. And everyone who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Now, just getting back to this eternal life that Satan did not want us to have. He does not want us to have eternal life. And that's what this great war in heaven was about, eternal life. So this is not an instruction to avoid your family, but to separate that which is against God or anything that keep you from following the truth. Okay, so let's go on down to, let's get to Babylon, because my time is so short and I don't have time to really tell you all of Babylon. So this means that Babylon will be judged, and if you are with Babylon, you will be judged along with Babylon. You have to come out of Babylon. It's very hard for us to separate ourselves because we have to separate. We have an economic implication, a religious implication, and a political implication. So it's hard for us to separate ourselves from this system. But just because we're part, just because it is a system, doesn't make us part of that system. Now, we come into our days. Did God say we should separate ourselves from today's Babylon? So this is a message that I really want to go viral. In Revelation 18, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place for demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean, hated bird. And today's Babylon, when it fell, it fell, you know, it said it like two times, Babylon is fallen, it's fallen. In the first Babylon, they used many, meaning it fell twice in political power and religious power. The cages represented captivity. For all nations have drunk of her wine, of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Wine represents false doctrine. So when you drink of it, you are actually drinking of false information. And it's getting to you. It goes inside your body, into your mind. And even the merchants of today will drink as the merchants in the first Babylon did. Delicacies are mentioned, meaning there is a lot of money in Babylon. And we know here, living in America, there's a lot of money here. There's a lot of false prophets here. There's a lot of, you know, merchants here who are getting rich off drinking of the wine. So Babylon have three characteristics. Union of the church and state. Now, this is how you recognize Babylon. They have union of church and state, false doctrine, and a controlled economy. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. So what are the iniquities God will remember? The iniquities were those who were against the word and law of God. Those are the things that he is going to remember, our iniquities. So, okay, so if you tell people to come out of Babylon, you just can't say come out of Babylon and not say who or what Babylon is. In Revelation 16 and 13 through 21, let's start with 19 first, because 19 tells about the three parts we were just speaking about. So 19 reads, and the great city was divided into three parts. And the city of nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of wine of the fierceness of his wrath. The Babylon was a city. Besides the union of church and state, it had three components, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. The beast, of course, is the Roman Catholic system. The dragon is the religious teaching of the Roman church. The Roman church says that scripture cannot be interpreted unless it is done by the church. They try to use this, but by using 2 Peter 1:20, but you got to go further than 2 Peter 1:20 to get the understanding of what this meant. So this is their little false doctrine they try to slip past us. So 2 Peter 1:20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. That means that we cannot interpret the scripture. It has to be done by the church. But in 2 Peter 1:21, it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But we know that the Holy Spirit interprets scriptures. So we know that it's false teaching and doctrine of the serpent when it comes from the Roman Catholic Church, because they believe nothing in the Bible unless they say it is so. So the false prophet, which is many, they are Protestants who have converted back to the Babylon principles. And it tells you, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming from out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So in biblical days, frogs represented deities in Egypt. So when they saw the unclean spirits like frogs, they were saying that this is not of God. This is of a false deity. Okay? So who's going to be involved in this on the Babylon side? The kings of the earth. 14 says, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them into battle of the great day of God Almighty. So all the world religions will fall into one of these categories, and there is going to be a conflict between God's people and the mindset of the Babylon. Everybody in the world will be influenced by this. So you have to make a choice during this conflict. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Remember, Noah preached righteousness, and Abel accepted righteousness, and Cain refused it. You got to make a choice. Then he gathered them together into one place, called it in Hebrew term Armageddon. This is the mountain where the great battle was fought between the priest and the dragon, Babel. So this is deep in Old Testament, the great conflict of the end of times. So I want you to understand that because your life depends on it, you have to make a choice. Earlier I told you that the beast was the Roman Catholic Church system, a.k.a. Babylon system. We're not talking about people, but systems. People have to make individual choices, and just because a system is defined as part of a system doesn't make the people Babylonians necessarily, because they could be deceived. The Bible tells us clearly to come out of her. Who? My people. So where is God's people mostly situated? In the Babylonian system. But they have to come out. And a lot of people be like, well, the Roman Catholic Church, you know, they are this. And no, they're not. They teach you the doctrine of the serpent. That's what they teach. They teach nothing of what God said. Everything to them is modernism. And we're going to get to that. So I recognize the system was not of God's word early on. But there's a lot of people who are stuck in the Babylonian system and looking for safety. So the Roman Catholic Church says, we're just ships adrift in the water without an anchor. But come unto the Mother Church and we'll give you an anchor. So we shift to the Roman Catholic ways of Babylon and forget the God of the Bible. But the Roman Catholic system is into modernism, meaning with them, anything goes. And the seventh angel poured out his veil into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. In Judges, in closing, the Roman Catholic Church doctrine is that of the serpent. They believe and practice modernism. They believe in the scripture that says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And see, God warned us against being right in our own eyes and not following his word. And that is why today this Babylonian system and this beast, we have to come out of this system so that we will not share in her wrath. So, again, you know, I can't tell people, you know, enough about the covenant of God. This covenant is so important to us, and it's more than life itself. And I want this message to go out viral, because if you're in a church, again, if you're in a church and they are interpreting the word of God through their own eyes, flee, run, because it's not God's word, it is the doctrine of Satan. So let me tell you this also before I go. How are we going to separate ourselves from Babylon without losing our economic, religious, or political thoughts, without being involved in society? Again, you know, I have to tell you, it is hard. But when you put on the line what is more sacred versus what is impious, then you will easily find a way out of this system. Just because you're part of the system does not mean you are in the system. We all know that we have to, you know, survive out here in this world. We all know, I mean, that's not something that, you know, we don't know. But what we don't know is that if we don't make a choice to come out of Babylon, meaning stop drinking this false doctrine, stop, you know, going to these so-called houses of God. You know, people have their own interpretation of what they think God said. And that's not fair, because people look for safety. And if they're looking for safety and they go into a church and this pastor is preaching the doctrine of Satan, then you're harming that soul, because that soul is looking for an anchor. But the best way to anchor yourself is to read and study and show yourself approved of what you read. That way you can't say, so-and-so told me this, or so-and-so said this, and Lord, I believe that because the pastor said it. But he also said there are going to be false prophets. We have to get that part straight. Not every man or woman out here with the church is of God. They are false prophets. Prophets. And I tell you something else. All this prophesizing and these telling of these dreams or whatever, and prophesizing over people's lives and stuff like, listen, the prophecy has already went through. The prophecies of God. God chose his prophets. Okay? He chose his prophets, and everything that his prophets said were of the Holy Spirit, and it was ordained by God. So if a prophet is telling you one thing and doing another thing or saying another thing, then it's not of God. It's the doctrine of the serpent. So let's be clear. Listen to what the prophets of God said, because they all said the same thing. Okay? And when Jesus came, he said, I came not to destroy any of what the God's prophets had said. I came to fulfill the prophecies. And he did just that. He fulfilled the prophecy. That's why we're in the book of Revelations now, where we have to come out of Babylon. Because God said, what? The kingdom of God is at hand. Then enough people are like, well, you've been saying that for 10,000. No, he hasn't been saying it because for 10,000 years, because if you add up the time when he was baptized at the age of 27, and you think of count those 2,000 years that he was supposed to return, that will give you the year 2027. I'm not predicting anything. I'm just adding up what the Bible, you know, gives to me in Revelation. So you look at 2027, give or take a few years. I'm not sure. I'm just telling you, you know, what I read and what I came up with a year for the 2,000 years, 2027. So we look at it. We don't have a lot of time to waste because the years go on by really fast. Every day you look up, another year done passed by. So instead, things will be moving along drastically, fast. It's going to be here before you know it. So this is why it's time to come out of Babylon, make our choice. Who are we going to serve, man or God? And if you're serving man, you're serving under the Roman Catholic system. When you're serving God, you know you're serving God because you're being guided by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not lead you wrong under no circumstances. So you have to get back into the Word of God, read it for yourself, and if anybody tell you anything that God said, you better look it up. You better check it out. You better not just believe it, because just like Eve in the garden, when the serpent beguiled her, you know, and told her that God really didn't say what he said, you know, then she didn't think about, you know, well, God said it, then it must be real. It must be the fact. If God said it, no, she didn't do that. She took the word of the serpent, ate of the forbidding fruit, and yes, their eyes were open, knowing good and evil. That's why when she had Cain, evil came into the world. Evil was born through her son. Okay? So this is where we have to understand. Stop trusting in these pastors and preachers and teachers and everybody. And when they tell you something, just look it up. That's all you have to do is look it up. And if it's not there, then it's of Satan. It's of the doctrine of the serpent. I'm just going to say it like that. It's of the doctrine of the serpent. But we got to, you know, make a choice now. Get into the Word. Put on your helmet, your breastplate, your belt, and all that stuff, because you're going to need it during these times, because we are at war. We've been at war since the beginning of time. This is not a new war. This is a war that's been raging for thousands of years. Now is our time. It's our time to be on the battlefield. Now, we're either going to be a soldier for God, or we're going to be with those that will be judged along with Babylon. That is my message for today. I will come back next week. And I say this every week, we're going to talk about this world reset. And I need to tell you about this world reset, because it's planning and it's on the way. And it ain't 1,000 years from now. It's maybe 3 years from now, or at the least. But I appreciate your listening to me today. And I'll see you again Saturday, next Sunday at 6:30. My time, 6:30 to 7 on your radio. Thank you for joining me.